how to choose your tribe. Now you've got your toolkit ready, understand your birthing body, and know how to get into a state of relaxation, it is time to think about your birth tribe. We are going to think about who you want at the birth and what they need to do during the birth to make sure you get the best birth for you on the day. Choose your tribe. Numbers-wise, if you are having a baby in hospital, you can have two people at your side. But if you are having a home birth, you can have whoever you want, including the dog. As long as the midwife can safely and easily move around, the number is up to you. Your chosen tribe, aka birth partner or birth partners, are key to having a positive birth experience and keeping your oxytocin levels flowing. As you now know, oxytocin is easily scared away, so your birth tribe need to be able to encourage your body to produce natural oxytocin and keep away the fear responses that reduce it. Labour is like a marathon. Imagine you're running one. You've got a fair way through and you're getting a little tired. No one is really supporting you, helping you stay on track, or handing you drinks as you run past. How far would you get? Now imagine you are running a marathon and you've got people you love and trust supporting you, keeping you well hydrated, attending to your needs, supporting you each stride of your run, keeping you focused on the finish line. Now how far would you get? Your tribe should help you get to the finish line. They should understand, support, guide, and care for you. No one should be there for their own benefit. Their presence must only benefit you. You need to be able to really trust your tribe so that you can completely let go of everything going on around you to focus on your breathing, relaxation, visualizations, or simply resting between contractions. I have seen labours slow down significantly or even stop after new members of the tribe have joined. Once, a woman's mother-in-law went to get food after her labour was starting to slow down. After her mother-in-law left, the woman changed position and gave birth about 20 minutes later. It could be a coincidence, but it's not the first time I've seen a labour totally turn around after a change in company. Energy around birth needs to be slow and accepting. Most people have a focus on wanting the baby out, which is perfectly understandable. It's hard not to look forward to that incredible moment, but the drive to want that can change the atmosphere. We've all been sat next to or near someone who is stressed, and you can almost see and feel it oozing out of them. Tone of voice can even have an impact. You can hear the stress in someone's tone of voice, especially if you know them well. Tone of voice is thought to affect the physiology of the body, and the physiological process of labour is vulnerable to interruption. So let your tribe know this before labour. If you know someone isn't good at keeping chilled and calm in an emotionally charged situation, then perhaps they are not the right person to be with you during birth. Should your partner be present at birth? People say different things about having men at birth. Deborah Lewis, the first vice president of the International Confederation of Midwives from the Caribbean, explains in her TED Talk that fathers should be present at the birth of their child because families thrive when fathers are present at birth, and their involvement, engagement, and support is critical. She says that being present at birth kickstarts the nurturing instinct for fathers and highlights that when fathers are involved in the preparation for birth and decision-making, there are fewer complications and interventions for women. Your partner usually knows about your body and behaviour in a way that nobody else does, so this does make sense. It is believed that the male hormonal composition changes during labour. Testosterone is thought to drop and men release a surge of oxytocin at birth, which helps initiate bonding. However, Michelle Odent, obstetrician and childbirth specialist, thinks that having a male partner at a birth can slow progress. He believes that having the partner present is a new phenomenon, and in the animal kingdom, female mammals give birth alone, away from their sexual partner. He feels that in the mid-19th century, the maternity environment has become masculinized, and he thinks that this may interfere with the mother's natural processes, such as being protective. The maternal protective aggressive instinct that occurs directly after birth, it is the moment when a woman is at her most powerful. Imagine a gorilla protecting her newborn. And yet, by socializing birth, Oden argues, humanity has neutralized this force. Another consideration is, how does your partner feel about being there? My friend's partner categorically stated that he did not, under any circumstances, want to be present at the birth of any of his four children. He is a perfectly good father and husband. He changed nappies, pushed prams, cooked, and treated the boys and girls with equality. But he didn't want to be at the birth, so he wasn't. His wife respected his decision and was happy for him to not be there. If someone is at your birth that doesn't really want to be or feels frightened, then all this will do is add stress and pressure to the situation. Whether your partner is male or female, it doesn't matter. They may not feel comfortable being at your birth. Sometimes these feelings can come from not wanting to see you in pain, or not wanting to see you and your body in a non-sexual way. It is controversial, but worth considering if your partner wants to be there or not. If they do not want to be there, perhaps talk about their reasons why, and then consider who you would like instead. A woman who has had a baby herself, whether that is a mum or friend, can be really helpful and reassuring. We'll go on to talk about the power of doulas in a minute too. You know what is best for you, your body, and your relationship. I don't believe it is our place as healthcare professionals to advise you whether to have your partner with you or not. It is, again, your choice. This section focuses on what I know about birth partners, whether they are the partner, father, or not, their role and how they can really help or hinder birth. If your name's not on the list, you're not coming in. When helping women decide who they're going to ask to be at their birth, I ask them to think about people they'd feel least embarrassed walking in on them having sex. Never an ideal scenario, but really think about this when you go through each person you think you might want at your birth. I have a few people I'm close to, and we'd laugh it off. But then there's others who I would be utterly horrified. Sometimes the latter group make their way into a woman's birth. This can really slow birth down. The human brain takes over, and you think you should, or are in some way obliged to let them observe your birth. Telling your partner and any key people who you are having at your birth now might be awkward, but your birth is not a spectacle, and it is not about what other people want. Birth is a major life event, and it should be kept as private and undisturbed as possible, so we need to protect your space surrounding it. Why your tribe matters. Having good support has been widely studied, and it has been found that continuous support reduced labour length, reduced birth analgesia, and also increased spontaneous vaginal delivery. A Cochrane study states, we found 26 studies that provided data from 17 countries involving more than 15,000 women in a wide range of settings and circumstances. The continuous support was provided by either hospital staff, such as nurses or midwives, or women who were not employees and had no personal relationship to the labouring woman, such as doulas, or women who were provided with a modest amount of guidance on providing support. In other cases, the support came from companions of women's choices from her own network, such as her partner, mother, or friend. Women who received continuous support may be more likely to give birth spontaneously, i.e. give birth vaginally with neither ventouse, nor forceps, nor caesarean. In addition, women may be less likely to use pain medications or to have a caesarean birth, and may be more likely to be satisfied and have shorter labours. Postpartum depression could be lower in women who are supported in labour, but we cannot be sure of this due to the studies being difficult to compare. They were in different settings with different people giving different support. The babies of women who received continuous support may be less likely to have low 5-minute APGAR scores. The scores used when babies' health and well-being are being assessed at birth and shortly afterwards. If supportive birth partners were a drug, every woman would be recommended to take it. Here are some of the main jobs of your tribe as I see it. To look after your emotional well-being and to make you feel safe and cared for. They need to offer kind words of support and encouragement. To follow your lead. You may ask for different things when you are in labour, and if this happens, your birth tribe needs to have your back. They need to adapt to your changing needs. For example, in the latent phase, you may want more touch and words of encouragement. But if you're in the zone, further along in your labour, you may not want any touching, only minimal talking, and to go deep within yourself. Changes in your needs are normal, and your tribe need to be able to adapt and accept this. To know your plans and preferences, so they are fully on board with everything and can calmly relay your plan or answer any questions if you're in labour land. They are your voice, echoing exactly what you want and acting for you when you need them to. They also need to be good communicators and create an atmosphere of teamwork. Often a birth partner will want to fix things, but it's good to let them know that there's nothing to fix and that this is a normal and natural process. If they are up for it, ask them to join you in watching videos of positive births. They need to see and also trust the birth process. If you are getting tired and a little self-doubt is creeping in, it is your tribe that will help to hold you up and keep you going. To help you with breathing and relaxation techniques if you would like them to. Your birth partner needs to know about the oxytocin enhancers and how to keep your oxytocin flowing. Some romantic partners cuddle, have a little kiss, and hold hands throughout labour. Others don't feel like doing this or aren't in a romantic relationship and opt for massages or gentle stroking instead. To offer practical support to make the plan happen. For example, if you want a home water birth, then they need to know how to assemble and fill the pool. If driving you to hospital, they need to have change in the car for the car park, or make sure you have easy access to transport in labour. Throughout labour, they should also make sure that you are well hydrated. This really helps your uterus muscle perform at its best. Have the right music or hypnobirthing track playing. Keep the room as dimly lit and quiet as possible. And if you are having a home birth, they need to get the towels at the ready. Also, make sure the midwives know where the kettle is. What to do if there's nothing to do? Sometimes in labour, your birth partner or partners are unsure about what they can do because the truth is, at times during birth, there isn't a lot for them to do. Which is why the media need to add their take on birth and over-dramatise it. Sometimes I barely do anything at birth, other than my clinical observations, and interject if it's needed. When it comes to your tribe, they need to know that just their presence, calmness, and patience is all that you may need, and it is okay to do nothing. They aren't a spare part. They are still supporting you by just being there. Their trusted presence influences your mindset. That's why if ever there's a formal investigation at a workplace, you can bring someone with you for support. Going into a meeting or investigation is a lot easier if you have someone with you, even if they don't say a word. You may also want to tell your birth partner that it's okay for them to go and have a snooze, a cuppa, or eat something when you don't fancy eating. I have seen many birth partners struggling to keep their eyes open, and the birthing woman is perfectly happy doing her own thing. The birth partner could be having a snooze or getting some snacks in. She really wouldn't mind, but they don't know, so they just sit there struggling, just to be on the safe side. Or perhaps you want the opposite. You might want to know your birth partners are there with you every minute of your labour. Whatever it is, let them know what you prefer so they don't disturb you asking or sit there hungry and bleary-eyed. Lastly, you may want to delegate someone to take photos, unless you chose to hire a birth photographer. Have a think about who's going to be taking photos in those precious moments. A note to birth partners. If you are expecting your first baby or have asked to be a birth partner, then I'm sure you are nervous, excited, and perhaps not quite sure what to expect or what is expected of you. Here's the heads up on what to expect and some handy tips. We are here for you too. If you are worried about something, have a question for your midwife or a particular wish, just let us know. Primarily, midwives and doctors will focus on the woman and the baby during labour and birth, but if you need something, please let them know. You really matter too, and midwives are happy to answer questions and make sure you have a positive birth experience too. You may need a break. As labour progresses, emotions can run high, but you really need to look after yourself, as both mum and baby will need your support after birth. First babies can take their time, and even if your partner can't eat, have a snack and keep yourself well hydrated. You need to look after yourself too. If you are not sure if this is the right time to go for a break, ask her and or the midwife. Your emotions will be running high. You may be intensely needed or not. You may feel helpless, excited, nervous, and even uncomfortable. You may need to rely on healthcare professionals to look after your partner and your baby. As these emotions arise, try to stay as calm and relaxed as possible. It is important to be patient when it comes to birth. Asking things like, "How much longer will it be?" can totally innocently create a time pressure for her. If things need to move along, midwives or doctors will usually recommend intervention. Otherwise, it's best to assume everything is unfolding naturally and normally. Your support is so important. It can be hard to know how the woman is, as she may not want to talk or be her usual self. Try not to ask her questions unless you really need to, but offer words of encouragement instead. Being sensitive to her changing needs will go a long way. It is normal for women to want one thing one minute and then absolutely not want it the next minute. You are not doing anything wrong. Things have just changed. If you are together as a couple, you are setting the foundations for your new family, and she'll remember your help forever. Don't underestimate how important your handholding and trust in her really is. Go through the labour bag. It will most likely be you that has to grab bits and bobs from the labour bag while she's in labour. So make sure you know where everything is, so you haven't got to pull it all out when either of you need something quickly. If you're having a home birth, have a little area for things she might ask for, like lip balm or a hair tie. You also need to make sure you've got drinks at the ready for both of you. Women easily get dehydrated in labour, especially when they are in the pool. The room is usually kept warm for when baby arrives, so you might get dehydrated too. I usually ask birth partners to look after the drinks, making sure they are flowing, unless a drip is being used. Remember, if she has asked you to be there, she really trusts you, and I'm sure you'll be an amazing birth partner. Don't underestimate yourself. What about doulas? The easiest way to explain the difference between a midwife and a doula is that a midwife is a healthcare provider and a doula is more of a birth companion. A doula is trained in supporting women before, during, and after birth. They impart their knowledge, confidence, and experience of birth through helping with change of position, massage, words of encouragement, support, and much more. They are not medically trained, cannot give medication, do observations, or carry out any tests. A doula is there solely to help and support you emotionally and physically, and they cannot replace a midwife. Their care usually starts in pregnancy, and they will get to know you throughout your journey to ensure they only drive your agenda. After the birth, most doulas also provide one or two postnatal visits in order to answer any questions, debrief the birth, and support you with feeding your baby. These postnatal visits are really helpful for women too. Trained doulas have been clinically proven to reduce the length of labour, lead to less intervention, and more positive memories of birth. They are also known to help fathers take on their new role with confidence, increase success in breastfeeding, and decrease the risk of postnatal depression. How do they create such magic? Because your doula knows your plans, your preferences, and your parameters. She is only there for you and to support you emotionally. Even if you have a supportive partner, best friend, mother, or sister, still consider a doula. If a woman doesn't look like a goddess in labour, someone isn't doing their job right. Ina Mae Gaskin. When it comes to hiring a doula, it's about finding the right doula for you and your family. It is important we all work together as a team. Partners, midwives, doulas, and doctors, because we all want to achieve the same goal. We need to respect the vital roles we all play during birth, and it is important we all know when to act and when to sit back. Overall, I have had brilliant experiences with doulas, and the teamwork has been on point. To ensure this feeling of teamwork is brought into your birth, it might be a good idea to introduce your doula to your midwife or doctor. Even if that's just for one of your regular antenatal appointments, so that they can all meet and ensure that you get the best care possible from your birth team. A good place to search for a doula is Doula UK. It is the largest voluntary organisation representing doulas in the UK. Each doula operates independently, but in order to join, they will have had to attend a Doula UK approved preparation course and abide by the organisation's strict code of conduct. It's not realistic for everyone to be able to afford a doula, especially when you have to buy other products for your baby or are living off a single income. If you would really like to hire a doula but would struggle to pay their usual fees, it is always worth getting in touch and having a chat with them. A lot of doulas are willing to offer payment plans, negotiate reduced fees if you are in real financial need, or they may be interested in an exchange of services or goods instead of cash. You can get Doula UK gift vouchers to offset some of the cost of hiring a doula. If people are going to buy you something anyway, you may as well get something that could really impact your whole birth experience. Most people don't know what to buy pregnant women, so they opt for baby wear or a cuddly toy. But there's no harm in being honest and saying what you want. I couldn't have done it without them. Although this is not actual scientific research, over the years and during my travels around the world, I've asked women about their birth experience, both when things went according to plan and when they didn't. The same phrases kept popping up and still do now. Those that had good support usually start with focusing on the help and support they had, saying things like, "I couldn't have done it without them." And even when an emergency situation has occurred, they are more positive and accepting. The company and support at birth has such an impact on the physiology of the labouring body. You need to really trust, feel comfortable, and connect with your midwife. And it is perfectly okay to request a different midwife if you need to. Your birth partner can approach this if you don't want to or are in the zone. Either way, speaking up about how someone is making you feel is so important. This is one of the biggest moments in your life, and you don't want to have someone there who isn't making you feel comfortable, although this is extremely rare. It is your body, your baby, your birth, and your decision. You are the boss in the birth room. Whether women have their perfect birth or an unplanned intervention, it is the support that really stands out. Key points. Choose your tribe wisely. They need to protect your environment and help you feel calm. Natural oxytocin is released when we feel happy, loved, and safe. Your birth tribe are partly responsible for this. Plan your birth with your birth partner. Sometimes the presence and support is all you need. Your birth partner doesn't always have to be busy. Birth companions reduce length of labour, the need for analgesia, and lead to more positive feelings about birth. Consider a doula and ask for gift vouchers if you are on a budget. Giving birth. It's not a race. Now you understand how labour works and have your support team in place, it's time to go on to the stages of labour, what to expect and how to manage your own labour. The stages of labour. You might have heard about the different stages of labour before. They can be a little confusing, and some talk about early, latent, active, first stage, pushing, etc. According to our midwife training, there are three stages of labour. The first stage is where your uterus is contracting, causing your cervix to dilate enough for your baby to pass through, about 10 centimetres. We also call this established labour. The second stage is where you push your baby out. The third stage is where you deliver your placenta. In reality, there is a lot more to labour than that. The three stages misses out a few phases of labour that women and midwives tend to refer to more often, so we will go over those too. You probably won't really know or care much about the various stages at this time. And to be honest, you don't really need to focus on stages or centimetres. They may all merge into one, or you may be able to tell them apart when you're there. Either way, you need to know what to expect and what it feels like, so you can go with your labouring body and trust the process. First stage, latent labour. Another phase to think about is the time before you are in the established part of labour. This is the very beginning of labour, where you'll have that thought, I think something is happening. If you're more than 37 weeks pregnant, you are considered to be full term, and if labour starts, it might not quite be what you were expecting, but it's okay. Your baby is mature enough to come out. Early labour can feel like period pain. It is a crampy sensation, and your tummy starts going tight, but it is different to the Braxton Hicks you may have been having. The cramps can start to radiate around your back or start in your back and radiate around to the front. They are usually fairly short-lasting and don't have any real pattern to them yet. Some women also get pain down their thighs with the tightenings. You'll most likely be able to talk during this stage at first, but as it progresses and the contractions get closer, you'll gradually need to stop and start to breathe your way through. You may also lose your mucus plug, the protective barrier. Appearance-wise, it can look a bit snotty and might be slightly blood-stained. It's not quite the knight in shining armour, but nonetheless, it has done a marvellous job of protecting your baby. Your waters may or may not go at this stage. Some women are really surprised at the amount of water there is. It can be way more than you think, and it will carry on leaking out until you have had your baby. If you think they have gone, you need to give your midwife a call and let her know. She'll do a quick assessment, and if everything is normal, your baby is moving, the fluid is clear, with no signs of meconium, which is brown or green, no smell, and you have no further complications or known group B strep, then usually we don't need to do anything. You can just wait for your labour to progress naturally. But this is unique to each individual, so you need to discuss this with your midwife. A note on group B strep. Before getting your own home testing kit for GBS, it is so important that you are fully informed about GBS and not misled by the media stories or individual experiences. Dr. Sarah Wickham has an up-to-date, evidence-based short book and free articles on her website about GBS. You might hear the word niggling being used. Midwives love the word and often use it to describe the start of the latent phase of labour. I don't know where it comes from, but it is a well-known international term that we use. Niggling usually means you're getting some short, irregular contractions, maybe one every 15 to 20 minutes, or even one every 10 minutes, but they don't last long or have any predictable pattern. The latent, or niggling phase, generally doesn't mean you're about to have your baby. I have never seen a baby born with contractions that are 10 to 15 minutes apart and that are short-lasting. It has probably happened somewhere in the world, there are always exceptions, but it is pretty much unheard of, especially with first babies. You don't need to call your midwife if you are in latent phase and your waters have not gone yet. The exception is if you have a planned C-section or have been advised to call her for any other reason. Some community or independent midwives may like to know that something is starting, so they have a bit more warning. But otherwise, midwives generally don't need to know yet. The best place for you to be is in the comfort of your own home, and your body will progress faster at home during this phase. That said, there are some circumstances where home may not be the best place for you. If you do not feel safe at home, don't feel like you can cope with the contractions, or are alone and need support, then call the midwife as soon as you need to. Don't feel like you have to wait. You can call your midwife anytime you like, but you really need to if your baby's movements have changed, what's coming out is not the mucus plug, or you are bleeding, you need pain relief, or are not getting any breaks between contractions. You have been in latent phase all day or night and do not feel anything is progressing. You are concerned about anything or have a question. We are here for you. How to be a tortoise. Labour could be the biggest endurance challenge your body will face, so you need to take it slow. Imagine you have a marathon to run, so now is the time to conserve energy and pace yourself. Getting to the finish line is top priority, and running out of resources may jeopardise this. Sometimes women go for long walks, start moving the furniture around, pulling the cot around, and go into action mode in early labour. By the time they are ready to give birth, they're shattered. There's some advice floating around that offers early labour activities like baking cakes and walking up and downstairs. Ignore it. If you start doing these, you're spending your limited resources unnecessarily. If you feel like doing some gentle yoga, hip openers, or squatting, that's fine. But overall, it is best to conserve your energy, relax, and be gentle on yourself. Most women spend the majority of labour in the latent phase, as the cervix needs to soften, come forward, and dilate. So there is plenty going on. To feel an example of how your cervix changes, touch the end of your nose. Fairly firm, isn't it? Now touch your lips. Quite a difference, isn't there? They're softer and easier to move. Your nose feels more like a non-labouring cervix, and an established labouring cervix feels more like your lips. The cervix needs to go from firm and closed to softer, stretchier, and open by 4 to 5 centimetres. That difference means your body has to go through quite a lot of change. Your cervix has been shut, firmly holding your baby in, and your uterus has been relaxed, allowing your baby to grow and your tummy to expand. Now your cervix needs to relax and open, and your uterus needs to tighten to push your baby down. They know what they need to do. They just need a little time to switch over and get going. Like when a DJ suddenly changes the tunes from slow jams to club music, it can sometimes take a while to adjust to the new rhythm and bust out the most appropriate dance moves. Relaxing in the latent phase. Samantha Pantlin from The Naked Midwife says, "The latent phase can sometimes be long and drawn out, and it can be easy to forget that this can be normal. In the weeks before baby's arrival, make a little place in your home that is your safe place. Each day, go to this place and play the same piece of music. Have the same fragrant candle or oil smell. Lavender is perfect. And spend 10 minutes or so just visualising on baby and making a connection. Then, if your labour is stopping and starting and you are dealing with contractions at home, you can go to your safe place to refocus and ground yourself when you feel you are not coping and losing your focus. Sometimes this stage can be a bit stop-start, so you think, this is it. Then it all stops before picking up again. Although everyone is different, if you suspect you have been in the latent phase all day and haven't yet told your midwife or doctor, I would recommend that you let someone know and always make sure you are still happy with your baby's movements. Relaxing can sometimes be hard if labour doesn't start or progress as quickly as you'd like, I know. But when you get frustrated or anxious in labour, you start to change your birth biology and create mixed messages leading to uncertainty. As you know from Step Out of the Way and Trust Your Body, this is because your body and uterus are protective. If you start to feel anxious, it is translated to your uterus as, I'm not sure the outside world is safe right now. Best to keep baby in here. To help turn this around and send the it's safe to come out now message, try putting your attention onto any feeling of frustration. Observe it fully. Where are you feeling it most? Your mind? Maybe deep in the pit of your stomach. Try to identify where it is coming from. Take a deep breath in, and as you breathe out, let your shoulders drop and let those feelings of frustration go. You may need a few breaths to let it all go. Once the frustration has been released, turn your attention to focus on the fact your body is doing its very best. Your body is so clever, protective, and able. You've got this. Early labour to-do list. If you're like me and always need a to-do list, even when there's nothing to do, here are some suggestions. Listen to your tracks if you are hypnobirthing and start using your techniques. Watch a funny film or TV series. Ask your birth partner for a gentle foot rub. Have a candlelit bath with a drop of lavender oil in it, or sit in the shower and let the lovely warm water wash over you. Meditate or try some simple yoga. Have a little bounce on your birth ball. Lie down on your side, put a pillow between your legs, breathe deep, and doze if you can. Get going on the snacks, whatever you fancy, and start to sip water. You'll need to be well hydrated. Labour hydration and fuel. Dehydration can cause complications in labour. Many women that come into hospital for labour assessments are already dehydrated. We can tell from the urine dip and a fast heart rate, among other things. And this can sometimes cause the baby to have a slightly higher heart rate. In this case, we will recommend a CTG monitoring, a 20-minute monitoring of your baby's heart rate. The good news is, dehydration is easily preventable by drinking water little and often. Drink whenever you feel thirsty, and make sure water is within your reach. You may need more if you are immersed in warm water. You can give the drink job to your birth partner, if you like, and ask them to make sure they keep the drinks flowing. It is also important for you to keep peeing too, because an empty bladder will help create more room for your baby's head to come down through your pelvis. Blood sugar can also drop in labour, and this can then slow labour down. So eat little and often if you can. Have whatever you fancy, but most women don't feel like eating a full meal. So snacks, like natural fruit and grain bars, nuts, crackers, flapjacks, dates, and fruit are good to keep sugar levels up and keep you going. Some women like to have little teaspoons or licks of honey, whatever floats your boat, as long as you're getting something in while you can, because you probably won't feel like eating in the next phase of labour. Note, diabetic women, this may be different for you. Stick to the dietary advice your specialist midwife has given you. Use your birthing ball. When you are crossing over from latent to established labour, it can be a struggle to get comfy in any position. But if you are familiar with your ball positions and have been experimenting in pregnancy, you should be able to get into a comfortable place and be able to release tension in your lower back. Your pelvic floor has already been under strain during pregnancy, and a ball provides a soft and gentle support for it too. While you're on the ball, You naturally assume positions that encourage your baby to get into a good position down into your pelvis too. Those upright, forward and open positions. Sometimes women end up with sore wrists as they've put a lot of weight on them by pushing against or leaning on hard surfaces. So be mindful not to place too much strain on your wrists. First stage, establish labour. This is when you need to have a midwife care for you. You need to call your midwife when your contractions have established a nice, regular pattern, usually about 3 contractions in a 10-minute period, 3 in 10, each lasting about 45 seconds. You will probably feel like things have started to ramp up in this stage. If this is not your first baby, you should call your midwife before they are 3 in 10. You know your body, so use your judgment here and call if you think your labour is establishing. Labour can progress more quickly if your body has done it before. When you arrive at hospital or the MLU, or if your midwife comes out to you at home, you'll be offered a vaginal examination to see how far dilated your cervix is. This is called a labour assessment. According to national maternity guidelines, you are considered to be in established labour when your cervix is 4 to 5 centimetres dilated or more, and you are having strong, regular contractions. Your definition of your own labour may be different to ours, and that doesn't mean you are wrong if you feel like you are in established labour, but your cervix is less than 4 centimetres. So that hospitals and midwives can make sure that women who are expected to have their baby soon receive one-to-one care, it is necessary to have these guidelines to go by. If you feel like things are progressing faster or you need pain relief, then just let us know. You are at the centre of your own care. When you have turned your neocortex down, you'll become more primal and less communicative, and that is fine. Midwives see women come into hospital or the MLU in all different ways. Whether you are silent and still, or louder, making funny noises and leaking amniotic fluid, it really doesn't matter. What matters is knowing how to stay in tune with your primal self. Everything we have gone through so far, like your toolkit, breathing and relaxation, and your birth partners, can help you do this. It is standard practice for midwives to offer routine vaginal examinations once your labour has established. This is to assess how your labour is progressing. You do not have to have any examinations if you don't want to. You can just have the initial assessment, or you can have them every 4 hours. The choice is yours. If you are unsure, your midwife will be able to help you make this choice at the time, especially if your dilation would gain valuable information or affect a decision that you need to make. Things tend to speed up a little bit in this stage. You can be in latent phase for a long time, which is why you need to be a tortoise. But once you have lasting, regular contractions, your cervix tends to dilate quicker, mainly if you are in the right environment, are moving and changing positions with the right support and feel safe. It is now that you really need your oxytocin enhancers to help your labour progress. In short, this is the time to be drawing the curtains, getting out the essential oils, be more active if you feel like it, and putting your labour music or hypnobirthing tracks on. If you are planning a water birth and feel like getting in the pool, then now is the time to go for it. Water can be such a lovely release, and you can also get into different positions you may not normally be able to. The buoyancy gives you more freedom to move. You can also get more rest during the breaks between contractions because you don't need to support your body as much. Gravity is your friend. If you are still mobile and not getting into the pool, then the more upright you are, the better. Gravity really helps you out by putting pressure on your cervix so it continues to dilate beautifully. Beanbags are also brilliant because they adapt and fit around you to support your body. And keep using your birthing ball if you like. If you have had an epidural, you still have options to help things along, like going on your side or sitting upright. Some hospitals have invested in funky beds, which help you to get into a seated position with your legs lowered. If you have allowed the epidural to wear off a bit, which can sometimes be advised just before pushing, you may be able to go onto all fours, supported by the bed, before you start pushing. Although TV shows would suggest that lying on your back is the usual way to give birth, it can stop gravity helping you. If you're lying down on your back, it creates an upward curve in your pelvis, meaning your baby needs to come up over your pelvis. If you are more upright and open, your baby can come down into your pelvis easier. If you need a CTG, continuous cardiotachography, the electronic monitoring of your baby's heart rate, you can still be mobile or use your ball, and you don't have to lie on the bed. As established labour progresses, most women start to go into themselves and can't or don't feel like talking anymore. First stage, transition. Transition is when your cervix is almost fully dilated, 10 centimetres, and you are nearly ready to start pushing. Sometimes your contractions will space out a little bit too. There is a distinct feeling at this stage. Many women have a moment of self-doubt, an overwhelming feeling of irritability, and even a little panic. It is okay to feel all of those things. It is the shift of power within the body that is making you stop and feel like that. You are there, right up on the finish line, about to meet your baby. The feeling is intense, but short-lived. If you have had an epidural, you may not feel this, but don't worry, it is all happening as it should, and your midwife will help to guide you when it is time to push. My friend, who is a midwife, knew she was in transition. But even so, the feelings took over just for a moment. She said, "I know I'm in transition, but I just want to go home now. I can't do it. Can I just go home?" 10 minutes later, she had her baby in her arms. Just keep going. Your midwife and your birth partner will be right there with you, supporting you and encouraging you. Second stage, pushing. This is the labour stage that most of us talk, think, and hear about, so it may come as a surprise that this stage is usually shorter than the latent and established phases of labour. It's a common misconception that labour is all about pushing. Everyone is different, but what is mostly the same is how you feel at this stage. You'll naturally start to feel the urge to push, like you need a big poo. Or you may start to make involuntary sounds, grunting, or sometimes full-on moo. These are all totally normal signs that you are ready to start pushing. Many women like the pushing stage, mostly because they are able to really use their contractions and take on an active role. Not to mention the excitement. You're about to meet your baby. No matter where you are, whether you have had an epidural or not, it is important to get into a position that is most comfortable for you and is as upright as possible or on all fours. If you don't have an epidural and are using hypnobirthing, you may want to go with your body and prefer not to be guided on pushing. However, some women want their midwife to talk them through this stage. Whatever you choose, it is important to give your perineum time to stretch and slow the speed of your baby's head crowning. So let's go over that now. Most midwives will recommend you pant. This kind of breathing encourages tiny, gentle, slower movements rather than rapid force and quick progression. If women need me to help guide them through this stage and the head is crowning, I usually advise women to breathe like they are blowing out candles on a birthday cake. My dad is a driving instructor, and he often tells his pupils, less space, less speed. If you go flying down a road with little space either side of your car, you are more likely to damage the car. But if you take it easy and go slow, you'll probably get fewer scratches. This is a similar concept with birth, but with the added ability of your vagina to change shape, unlike the road. Your body can sometimes take over and just push, and the burning sensation caused by the stretching can get intense. But this is where your perineal massaging will pay off. You will have built up a bit of a tolerance and prepared your skin to stretch that little bit more. If you are not in the water, this is when your midwife can apply the warm pack. Trust guidelines vary around the country for the expected time it takes to push a baby out, but NICE state the expected time is up to 3 hours from the start of active pushing if it is your first baby, and within 2 hours for most women who have had a baby before. This stage is the most triumphant of all. You get to meet, cuddle, and explore your little baby. Third stage, nearly there. The last thing to do is deliver the placenta. As badass and hardcore as your placenta is when your baby is growing, it is soft in texture and far easier to deliver. It's about the size of a small pizza, depending on where you get your takeaways from. Your midwife will talk you through everything and explain what is happening. If you have chosen to have the injection for your placenta, it will be given in your upper thigh just after your baby is born. The injection helps your uterus to contract down and expel the placenta and reduces initial blood loss, but it can make you feel sick. Some women prefer not to have this unless they are at risk of bleeding. Your midwife will be able to advise you on what is safest for you, and you can make an informed choice. Sometimes before the placenta comes out, there is a separation bleed. This can look a bit scary and as though you are bleeding fairly heavily. But don't worry, it is normal and should stop by itself. Usually, the separation bleed is a sign the placenta has come away from your uterus, and that is what's caused the bleed. All those blood vessels that have been pumping blood to your baby need to constrict and close over. If this bleed goes on for longer than expected, your midwife may recommend you have the injection, or a second dose if you have had one, alongside some other intervention and drugs to stop further bleeding. The best time to cut the cord. When your baby is born, it will be attached to you via the umbilical cord, which is attached to the placenta. About one third of your baby's blood volume is still circulating in the cord and placenta. In the minutes following the birth, this blood is still rich with iron, oxygen, and stem cells, an impressive combination in terms of our biology. A cord with blood in it is fat, full, and sort of bluish in colour. If we cut the cord when it's like this, then we are potentially depriving your baby of that extra goodness. If possible, it is best to wait for white, so your baby can get the full transfusion of rich blood. This means, quite literally, waiting for the cord to turn white, and therefore has emptied itself of blood before it is cut. This takes around 5 minutes after the birth of a baby. If for whatever reason it is not possible to wait for white, national guidelines state a minimum delay of 1 minute for all births, unless there is concern over the ability of the cord or the baby's heartbeat. A planned C-section. If you have a planned C-section, it is unlikely you will experience any of the stages of labour, although you might get a few niggles before the planned day. In the days or hours leading up to your section, you may start to get a little nervous. Don't worry, almost all the women I have looked after with a planned C-section feel the build-up of nerves. Remember that even though you are having an operation and are perhaps slightly more reliant on the hospital staff, you are still very much in control of what happens. You can still use all the hypnobirthing and breathing techniques you have learned, and you can still have many of your plans met, like delayed cord clamping, skin to skin, and opting for a gentle or woman-centered cesarean section. Your birth partner and midwife will be there to support you and ask all the questions you need to every step of the way. Use your brain tool. Every woman, birth, and baby are different. Sometimes babies get distressed in labour, and this is shown through things like a change in baby's heart rate or thick meconium, which will come out in your waters, where your baby has done a poo inside. These things are unpredictable. You can follow the best advice and do everything in your power to have a natural birth, but last-minute changes can happen. Remember that you always have your brain tool. If things change, try to remain calm and focused. It is rare that the situation is a true emergency. More often than not, you have time to go through your options and make the best decision for you and your baby at the time. Your midwife and doctor will support you through any unexpected changes. Everything is a choice. Key points. The latent phase of labour is usually the longest. Slow and steady wins the race. Don't bake cakes and rush around. Save your energy for when it is most needed. If you are low risk, planning a home birth, and do not have any concerns, try to stay at home as long as possible. Call your midwife anytime for anything. We are here for you. In established labour, relax as much as possible and stay upright to let gravity help relax your cervix. Keep your environment as relaxed as possible with your oxytocin enhancers. You've got this. You're not the only one in labour. Your baby is too. The classic analogy of being pushed through the eye of a needle couldn't be further from the truth about birth. Your best birth partner is your baby. During labour, you and your baby work together. In fact, since you started puberty and then through each menstrual cycle, your body has been preparing for pregnancy. And throughout pregnancy, your body has been getting ready for birth. Your uterus, pelvis, and baby all come together in a collective team effort during labour. Nevertheless, unsolicited comments like, "You look like you're ready to pop," or the ultimate flattery, "Are you sure you're not having twins?" can start to get in your head. The media don't exactly help with their horrifying headlines either, such as, "Woman gives birth to giant baby." When you've got a good-sized bump, it makes this idea all the more realistic. Try to forget all this nonsense and look at the facts, biology, and everything we have learnt so far. Know that your body is designed to do this, and your baby is your best birth partner, and here's how. Your baby has been well looked after, but they know when it is time to leave and are well prepared at term, from 37 weeks onwards. During labour, there is an intricate process of communication between your body and your baby that no one truly understands, yet. What we do understand is that your baby's head is not a bowling ball. Not much of a spoiler alert, I know, but sometimes women imagine they need to push out this big, hard head. But it's really not like that. I'm sure you've heard people talk about the soft spot on a baby's head, the fontanelles. There are extra bones in the skull that allow the baby's head to pass through your pelvis. We start off with around 300 bones at birth, and by the time we are 25, we have around 206, as they fuse together. Although the head is bony, it's softer and can easily change shape. We call this moulding. When we do a vaginal examination, midwives and doctors feel for the fontanelles on your baby's head to determine the position of the baby. It sounds clever when we tell you, "Your baby is looking over to your right." But it's actually not that difficult when you understand the fetal skull and feel for the little gaps between the bones. It is completely different to how an adult bone feels to touch. Lots of babies worry their parents, right from the start, when they come out with elongated heads, but the head soon go back to a more rounded-looking shape. This clever design allows your baby to work with you and your pelvis. Skull shifting during birth has been happening in humans and their ancestors for millions of years because it's an adaptation to the evolution of larger brains and the change to walking upright, which in turn altered the shape of the pelvis. Incredible stuff. The best position for your baby, ready for birth, is head down, their back to your front as though they are looking towards your spine, their bum pushing forward, their chin tucked in, so the smallest part of their head is coming first. Most babies will try to get into this position by themselves, and if you have been a UFO, upright, forward, and open, in pregnancy, then this will really help your baby in labour and birth. If you have a baby that is not in this position, there is some good advice on spinningbabies.com. If your baby is in the breech position, bottom down, your midwife will also discuss another option called ECV, external cephalic version, where an experienced doctor physically turns the baby around into a head-down position. Your uterus in action. By the end of pregnancy, the purpose of your uterus is to empty itself. I know this may not be the emotional and beautiful explanation you expected, but it is the absolute truth. Your uterus has a specific job, and it takes this job very seriously. It has been practicing as early as 24 weeks for labour with Braxton Hicks. Your uterus has been stretched and provided your baby with a place to grow, but it has been preparing for the grand finale, labour and birth. When I picture the job of a uterus, I imagine a dinner party I once hosted. Several people came over and I was so excited. I got everything prepared hours before and waited for their arrival. They took longer than I thought to show up, but I was relieved when they did, as I'd done so much preparation. I served them like I would royalty and did all of the clearing up after them. We spent some real quality time together and had a lovely evening, but as it drew to a close, I got tired and just wanted them to leave. We've all been there. It's all right when you're the one that can leave, but when you're in your own home, it's a game changer. So, I did everything in my power to encourage and hint towards them leaving. I was talking about all the stuff I had to do the next day and how I just don't function without a solid 7 hours sleep, all while looking at the clock. Finally, someone said, "Right, should we make a move?" And everyone started shuffling around, getting ready to leave. Some of them took their time and others left quite quickly. It was their decision to go, but I had edged them on. Being a dinner party host is similar to being a uterus towards the end of pregnancy. Your uterus does everything it can to bring your baby into the world, but it's a team effort. Your baby works with you. Some babies take longer to get ready, and others move more quickly. Your uterus wants your baby to leave. It has prepared for this and will do as much as possible to encourage your baby to be born. Try to be patient with your body. Your pelvis in action. Your pelvis is also shaping, moving, and adapting for birth. Your ligaments and pelvis have both been heavily manipulated by a cocktail of hormones to allow as much room as possible for your baby. Your pubic joint can open by around a centimetre during labour. If you've ever slept in a king-size bed after being in a double, you know how much difference that little bit of extra room makes. When it comes to making good use of this space, imagine you need to get a ring off your finger. You wouldn't pull it straight up and off, would you? You'd be twisting it at different angles to help it slide off. What you're doing with the ring there is similar to what you can do to help your baby come through your pelvis. Some women naturally start moving and rolling their hips or slightly squatting. So if you feel the need to move in a certain way, go with your body. Towards the end of labour, there are ways to help keep your pelvis as open as possible and to help your baby into the ideal position. Aim to keep your knees as far away from your spine as possible as often as you can. For example, when you stand upright, your knees are as far away from your pelvis as they can be. When you sit, try to have your knees lower than your pelvis. Key points. Trust the relationship your body has with your baby. Your uterus wants to get your baby out. Your baby's head changes shape to fit through your pelvis. Help your baby into the ideal position by being aware of your posture and movement during pregnancy.